Now, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard? Not the billiards. It was... Come on, everybody.
What?
Come on. We call it the place to be.
The place to be, yes. It's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can...
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another episode of the Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and tonight we will be bringing you the headlines from around the world of wrestling, sports, and entertainment. And joining me, as always, is the man who always trusts a big butt and a smile, and that is Scott Criscolo, my PIC. Scott, how you doing?
I figured after the day that I've had that the opens would have been redone and Andrew would have been sitting here doing it with you.
Yeah, well, it was close.
Well, you were in Cabo, so.
If I thought Matt Rotella would stay awake through the whole thing, I would have had him on.
Oh, God. How are you tonight, sir? You sound a little better.
Yeah, I'm doing better now than I was earlier today. I had a rough day at work. And then
I promise you, as your PIC, I promise you that tonight we're going to do a crisp, clean, no caffeine, good podcast without the mundane drivel. We don't have the motorboat, the motor mouth of... And you know what? I love Andrew Reich. I really do. But and he does fire me up. And for those that listened to our last podcast, it was pretty good.
And we got to remember to read the fan mail we got later.
You have to remember to read the fan mail.
Yeah, more hate mail towards me from our buddy Danny. So,
let's
hit the headlines. And we got one thing we're going to start off with here is the biggest news of the week.
You think you know me?
And of course, that is the retirement, shocking retirement of the WWE current World Heavyweight Champion, and that's Edge, Adam Copeland. On Monday, it really wasn't leaked throughout the day. I don't know. Did you see anything about it that afternoon, or I definitely didn't?
I knew nothing. I didn't read anything. I didn't see anything. It kind of came out of nowhere. I thought there was some hintings, maybe like 10 of 9 on Lords of Pain. Something was going on. They said there was something going on involving Edge, and we didn't know what that was. And then sure enough, he comes out and he's got the serious look. And at first we thought it was some kind of, some kind of storyline involving Alberto Del Rio, but then when he started talking about being in the Brood and, you know, when JR hired me, and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't, you know, a storyline. Not when he started mentioning JR, who, you know, no one's allowed to right now. And, yeah, something was going on.
Right, and there was a lot of people throughout the net who did think it was a work. And there was even one guy on our buddy Graham Cawthon's History of WWE Facebook page calling us all, you know, everyone who was kind of buying it, was calling them stupid marks and idiots for buying into this. And then he actually, to his credit, did come back and apologize the next day.
Right.
You know, but I'm like... They wouldn't have him be doing, like you said, that type of speech, and they would have had some kind of angle. And the part that tipped it off for me is they didn't show the spot that injured him. Normally when they do an angle like this with an injury, they would try and build heat on the spot that caused it. You know, they would show, like, remember when Cena broke his neck and they showed the thing with Batista? You know, they always try and find some video. But for this, they played it so straight and down and, you know, narrow, I knew right away that it was legit. It was shocking because... You know, we were recording the Graham podcast during that first part of Raw, and when they showed the graphic Edge retiring with a question mark, I kind of didn't even think about it. You know, we were just talking, and I kind of noticed that, some angle going on. But it was definitely a great speech, and it was cool that they let him, you know, go out there, obviously totally unscripted. And his one on SmackDown was equally as good.
Yeah, I haven't watched the SmackDown one yet. I have to go because Hulu doesn't update the SmackDowns as often or as quickly as they used to. I'll have to check it on WWE's actual website. But I got to tell you something. I no one really knows, you know, when we talk about our favorite wrestlers on our shows and podcasts, obviously everybody knows my number one guy is Triple H, but we don't go past that because Triple H is such a polarizing figure and it's good for people to get my goat and it makes debate fun. But honestly, and I mean, I've mentioned this to you in passing, but not a lot of people know that honestly over the last, you know, probably 10 years, my second favorite wrestler has been Edge. I've loved his work rate, his characters, whether he's the goofy heel, he was a great baby face, but he probably cinched it for me, just like Triple H cinched his character for me in 1999. I mean, I loved him before that, but he really hooked it for me when he turned heel in 99. When Edge turned heel in 2004, it was awesome. And he just knew, some guys just know how to be a good douchebag. And it's not because they're on real life, although obviously there was that stretch where, mm-hmm. you know, he was with Lita and he, you know.
Oh, that really saved his career in a way.
Yeah, it did. And honestly, Lita was just as much to blame as he was. So, and Matt, you know, kind of used it to his advantage to get a job back. So they were all guilty in some capacity in that whole triad. But after that, the guy just busted his ass. I mean, there was no doubt about it. The guy just wanted to be at the top. He was a loyal soldier all these years. He's one of the few guys that was able to bridge the Attitude Era into the new run. And it's funny because one of yours and my now favorite WrestleManias, WrestleMania 19, he wasn't even at.
Right.
And I don't know, just like we always wondered what if Triple H would have fit in the 2001 invasion, would Edge have fit in that weird 03 realm?
Yeah, I think he would have probably just kind of taken Rhino's spot for that early part of the year. I think he would have been teaming with Benoit probably in that match in 19 and then just kind of floated around. Although he was set up for a pretty big push, it seemed like. And you almost wonder, would have been him in Benoit's spot or Eddie's spot at the end of the year.
Yeah, I wonder if, because remember Benoit and Eddie had that great feud in 03. I wonder if it would have been Eddie and Edge in the finals of that tournament at Vengeance, which ended up being an awesome match. And I think it would have been just as great a match. But over the last like 3-4 years, even 5 years, Edge has probably been one of my second favorite guy in the whole company.
Well, you got to give him credit too for his feud with Cena, because heading into that feud, Cena had been, you know, booed when feuding with Jericho and Angle, and Edge was the first guy to really embrace the heel role in a feud with Cena and actually get the crowd back behind Cena a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, as much as everyone enjoyed Edge, he was a great douchebag, and with Lita and all that stuff going on, and you know, of course, there's a whole story about how ratings rose right after he won the title, but then they still put it back on Cena at the Rumble, and that pissed a lot of people off because, you know, they were ready for that Edge run, and it seemed like he was poised for it, but he would get it later in the year. They let him have the title for a while, so.
Exactly, and the only reason they did that was because they needed Cena for the big match with Triple H at 22, so it really wasn't Edge's fault, it was just the future booking, it was just a bad spot for him to keep it, but
what about the void? You know,
it's a huge void. Yeah. I gotta finish. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was agreeing with you. Yeah, it's definitely a huge void. And they actually now, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but the draft that's happening next Monday was actually scheduled for June originally, I read. And they're rushing it so they can kind of reset the shows now because they're losing Edge. They want, you know, they gotta shuffle things up a little. But I actually read that the draft it's gonna take place Monday, but it doesn't go in effect until next Monday, the night after Extreme Rules pay per view.
Well, that makes sense, which makes me think that, I'm curious because obviously there is a huge hole on the babyface side on SmackDown. Your highest babyface now is
Christian, pretty much.
Big Show. Yeah, Christian, yeah, Christian, Big Show. And, I think Christian, well, the question is if they're going to screw Christian over again. And we'll get more into this when we do our podcast after the draft next week. We'll have Jordan and the guys on, maybe Mr. LaRoux. Maybe we'll talk about the post-draft fallout. Obviously, it's going to be more a case of they have to loosen up Raw a little bit and bring some guys on. I wouldn't be surprised, depending what happens at Extreme Rules, if Randy Orton goes to SmackDown.
Yeah, there's definitely a few guys that could use the move. But let's finish talking about Edge, and then we'll get to the draft.
My favorite – well, if you want to talk about favorite moments, obviously, no, you know, New Year's Revolution 06. I mean, it was incredible. I wish I was there in Albany.
Yeah, just to see the emotion on his face when you knew. Yeah. You know, it was one of the legit, real, you know, happy moments. Celebrations of a guy.
Exactly. And it's funny. You were lucky enough, and I envy you. You were lucky enough to be live at a moment similar to that, and that's when Mick won it the first time.
Yes.
A legitimate guy who deserved it, and Edge definitely deserved it. Yeah, the Rumble thing sucked, but it was really just to set up, you know, Cena and Triple H. It had nothing to do with Edge getting punished. It was just he was kind of at the wrong place at the wrong time. I actually have and I'm sure they'll do another DVD because this one only goes so far. Let me grab it here. The Decade of Decadence DVD. Let me grab it and see what the last match is on here because I'm sure they'll do another set because this is mostly, let's see.
And now while you're doing that, I just want to say, too, I didn't realize what the ailment he had is actually the same thing that Austin has.
Yes, he's got a plate, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why they're saying, you know, don't expect him to be a guy that comes back in a year and has a match or anything like that. Like, it seems like it's, you know, to where it's, I mean, Austin, this was like one of the first times he was back in the ring doing moves, was on Tough Enough. So look how long he's been, you know, sidelined. So I think Edge really... And he's smart to walk away. I'm glad they caught it. I mean, it's crazy to think they knew he was having these problems and they were still going to have him be in a ladder match. That was kind of disturbing to me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, I agree. And you know what? The guy deserves, because think about it. He, you know, not many people could say that their final match ever was retaining the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, no.
I can't say that to many guys.
That definitely worked out well for him. And I'm glad he got to retire as champion, actually, because he's like one of the more prolific champions of this decade. So it's kind of fitting that he retired on top with the belt.
Yeah, I mean, he does have more... actual belts, not world championships. He's close to Triple H, though. What's he got, 11, I think, or 12? He's pretty close. Triple H has, what, 13?
I don't know. I stopped counting when, like, Hogan had 6. I can't keep track anymore after that.
I think Triple H has 13. I think Edge has, like, 11. But the last match on the DVD is his Hell in a Cell match with Taker at SummerSlam 08.
Okay.
Got chokeslammed through the thing and the fire and everything. So they could probably...
I'm sure they could find a lot of stuff that they didn't put on that DVD. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who's had a ton of matches.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's no, and I'll buy it again. I love this. I don't know. I know you don't have it. I
do.
If,
yeah, I do have
you
it.
Did get that. Okay, you did get that. I wasn't sure if you. I remember you got it after I did. I got it when it first came out. That's how much I love the guy. And obviously the TLCs, but people really need to watch his solo stuff because I think he doesn't get as much credit as maybe some other guys do for having really good. People crap on it. We talked about it when we did our Mania shows. I know a lot of people crap on the match with Taker at 24. It's not as bad as people make it out to be.
I think it's very good, yeah. I don't think it's bad at all.
Yeah, a lot of people shit on it.
It's one of those matches that you have to give a, you know, give it a chance because it does start a little bit slow, but it definitely gets building. And once it gets going, it's really, really good. For a non-gimmick match with those two guys, it's excellent.
It is pretty good, yeah. There's a lot of good matches on that. And you wonder who, you know, is Edge, and this is another debate for another day. We won't dwell on it tonight, but is Edge, when this guy's career is over in who knows how long, will Edge end up being John Cena's greatest opponent?
Oh, I think so.
I agree. I mean, a lot of people say Orton, but I haven't really liked matches.
I think the Cena-Orton thing was hotter back in like 07, but their last feud, I can't keep track of the years.
I think
anymore.
It was 09.
Yeah, that last feud left much to be desired. But Cena and Edge are two guys that, in my opinion, never had a match under like 3 stars. And that even includes when they fought on that Tribute to the Troops. Even that was a good match. And that, you know, those are usually just basic as it gets. But
yeah, and it's funny because the next, you know, obviously Justin and I do the reviews. We are sitting on whenever we get around to it again, our next WWE pay-per-view review is actually Unforgiven 06, which is the TLC in Toronto, which is a lot of people crap on because Cena's half out of it, and you know, and Edge loses at home, so people think that sucked. But that match is even very good. So I am very upset because I'm running, I don't want to enlarge this topic because we got a lot to go over tonight. But if we do our like mid-year report when we have Graham back on and the guys. I got to be honest with you, man. I'm running out of guys to like. Really am. The roster is starting to. I mean, I was talking to our man, our friend Johnny Reckless, and he's the same way. He's like me. I think the one guy left that I really, really like is Punk. And I don't dislike Orton. I just don't like where Orton kind of is floating right now. But I don't dislike Orton. But really, Punk is the one guy that I really enjoy watching now. And
yeah, Punk is definitely the best. I hope Jericho comes back at some point because I think he'd easily be up there too. I think Sheamus has gotten really good since they kind of gave him this renewed push. And, you know, Daniel Bryan's always good, but he's just not featured as much. Christian, I think if they let him be the main guy, could He's not going to fill Edge's void, but he'll come close, I think, because he can be that. He can be that cornerstone face of a B show. I think he's made for that role. I mean, hell, he did it in TNA, right? I mean, it's pretty much a B promotion. He was the top face, so
exactly. And this is a case, and we'll talk more about Christian when we do the draft. But just very quickly, Christian is a case where we need to trust the newer regime. If Vince was still running, if Vince is still the last say, all he's going to be like is, oh, yeah, that creepy little bastard guy. Nah, don't give him the title. Give me some
that. He has never liked Christian. It's weird.
I don't know why.
Well, he likes him, but I think he doesn't see him as a top guy. That's the problem.
Yeah, and I think unfortunately, it's a double-edged sword when he was in TNA. Because on the one hand, yes, it gave him main event credibility. But on the other hand, a lot of those guys backstage don't give two shits what TNA does. So they're probably like, yeah, whatever. If they made this guy a main eventer, that's pretty sad. But I think Triple H does see something in Christian. So if he does get the book soon, we hope, at some point, he'll get Christian. I'm actually, when we do our Extreme Rules picks, maybe we'll bang them out. You know, next week we'll have to do our Extreme Rules picks. I may pull the upset because I know everybody and their mother will probably pick Del Rio to win that ladder match. I did it once. I may do it again, and I may actually take Christian.
Depends, because I don't know if they were holding off the Del Rio title until this show anyway. Or if they kind of wanted to have, you know, the face kind of win the title and continue to be the standard bearer over there. I don't know. I think now that this happened, I can see Christian winning. And they do a thing with maybe Edge comes out and kind of shakes his hand or something like that. Yeah. And just kind of, because if you're going to make Christian a major player on SmackDown, you're going to do it now. You can't have him choke at his first title match.
No, I agree. But, I mean, we can go on for all night about Edge. But he's, again, I mean, I'm running out of current guys to really... that I've really embraced, but because we don't talk about it much, because, you know, when it comes to my personality and the fun we have on this show, talking about Triple H is more fun from a debate perspective, but my number two guy for the last 10 years has been Edge. I've just loved him in the ring in all capacities, and the guy really worked his ass off. I read his book, the one he wrote. The book, the Adam Copeland on Edge, ends right at the beginning of 2003, so it doesn't have any of his heel stuff. He'd be great right now. Would be a great time for him to write another book.
I'm sure he will after taking a break.
Yeah, I mean, the next 8 years, and it gives him a chance to talk about the whole Lita Matt thing and all that. But the guy really came from nothing. I mean, his mom was a waitress, and he lived in like Toronto ghettos and, you know, apartment complexes where everybody had one bathroom. I mean, he lived a pretty shitty childhood, but. He, the guy just busted his ass, and he was a fan. He's one of those guys that legitimately being a fan motivated him to be in the business, not just guys who, you know, fake it and poser it. This guy really busted his ass, and he's earned everything he's gotten. This isn't the guy that had anything handed to him.
You know what's special about him, too, is he's like the one guy we started, we saw his whole career, basically. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of the few guys right now that we saw start and end. Because, you know, there's guys like Austin and Rock, but I guess Rock we've seen, but it wasn't the same. Like, this is a guy we saw start out in the lower card, become a tag. So, you know, we've kind of seen his whole ascension. I mean, you know, Bret Hart went through the same thing, but we weren't really fully watching when he was starting. So, and this is a guy that we watched completely grow up on the, you know, in front of us.
Yeah, so God bless you, Adam Copeland. You are a much more important guy to this business than anybody gives you credit for. And I'm glad you're able to walk out of the ring and not be wheeled out. So
yeah, that's the best part. Is that they found it in time.
Yeah, and I like when he said, "I'm gonna go home and eat a big thing of ice cream." He deserves it. Go ahead, it's on me. Butter pecan. You know, let him get fat. Who cares?
Yeah.
And you know, don't worry about TV. Don't worry about anything. Take a breather. You'll be back in 8 months. Maybe you'll commentate. He'd be a pretty good commentator.
I agree. I was gonna say that's probably where he'd be best utilized.
He'd be hilarious as a commentator. Either way, face or heel, he'd be great either way. So. God bless you, Edge. Good luck. I'm going to miss you. I really am.
All right. So with that wrapped up, let's move on now to one of the hottest shows on wrestling fans' radars right now. And that's the new Tough Enough.
Yeah.
this is the show that, to me, is really baking Steve Austin that may actually launch him into some kind of legit form of media finally, because he's been phenomenal on this thing.
Yeah, I have not had a chance to watch this past week's yet. I'm going to watch it right after we're off the air. I watched the first 2 weeks, and the reason I like it is because I think it is because of Steve. I don't think Steve would have signed on for this if it was like the first, and I have nothing against the early Tough Enoughs, but that was kind of campy, and the, you know, when Jackie Gator was porking all the guys in the fucking hot tub and all that crap.
Yeah, but don't forget too, though, that was a different, I mean, the reality genre has come like a long way since then, and this has more of a feel of an actual reality show you'd see on another channel, you know, not right. just like a back then Tough Enough, that was more of a wrestling show. This is more of a reality show. And right, but you have it mixed in with USA and WWE's like tremendous production. So, you know, it's just really well edited and really well put together.
Yeah. When MTV did it, right. Was it MTV? MTV did it the first time.
Yeah.
It had that like college.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you Pros at Assumption would have done a much better job, but, but, you know, that had that like cheesy crap camera look and all that crap. Steve, I don't think would have signed off of this if it was going to be like that. This is a legit, you know, these guys are, yeah, they're doing their drinking in the cabin or whatever, but these guys legitimately, and girls, are legitimately wanting to succeed. And they're not keeping people on for the best thing for me, they're not keeping people on for the sake of making the show entertaining. As much as the product is all about entertainment now, but that's another topic for another 10 years to talk about. But the fact that, like, that first show when he got rid of the black girl, I can't remember her name, she probably would have made a great...
Ariane.
She would have made a great character for the rest of the season, but I'm sure they're like, no, she sucks at this. I'm sure they're trusting Booker and Trish and Hugh there.
Now, does Austin make... I know they come up with the last three in that meeting, but do you think he decides that moment in the ring who he's cutting? I mean, it seems like it, right?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think Steve completely is legitimizing this. I don't think he's... I'm sure he's pre-producing, and you could... I think they're realizing how things are... Again, I haven't seen this past week. I don't know who gets kicked off this
week.
It's
surprising. I'll say that.
Okay.
Probably not who you expected.
But, you know... I think that, and first of all, that she's Alicia Fox's cousin?
Sister.
So,
well, you know, I got the clip here. We got to play it because this is what, you know, I think people were skeptical of it. And if you're going to watch any part of the show, watch the last 15 minutes when Austin does his showdown in the ring. But here's the clip, the famous now clip from the first episode.
I'm passionate about, my new passion is wrestling.
Your new passion. What's your favorite match?
My favorite match was with Melina and Alicia Fox.
Who?
Melina and Alicia Fox.
Out of all the matches in the history of this business, that was your favorite?
And the look, you know, of exasperation sad? He had was tremendous.
Yeah, and what's sad is we probably, I probably would have gotten more shit from him because I would have said my favorite match is him and Triple H with No Way Out 01. He probably would have thought I was kissing his ass.
Yeah, at least you would have known it, though, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's a legitimately fucking amazing match. But yeah, that's what makes me think this show is so legit, because Steve's looking at her like, you don't fucking belong here. And then she does that bullshit tweet at the end of the show, and nah. This show is definitely legit, and
well,
the
polishing... You know what I like, too? That's okay, because I don't want to forget...
No, go ahead.
This twice already while we've been talking that I wanted to say. yep. I like that they're not – the original Tough Enoughs, they made it like they were like showing them how to work matches and kind of exposing it a little bit, the business – you know, exposing the business on that level. In this series, it's more like they're actually training them for careers to compete. I don't know if I'm really explaining how I'm trying to get this across.
No, I see what you're saying. They're actually going step by step in how to do certain things instead of just throwing the two of them in there and beating the crap out of them.
No. I'm saying more like – the original Tough Enough series, they were like showing them how to work matches, so it made it look fake. Here, they're teaching them moves and personality so they can go compete in matches. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying, right.
So they're
right.
not like teaching them to choreograph matches. That's what made the original one kind of expose things, because they were basically saying, oh, go in there, you know, and put this match together. Unless they're going to get to that point, I don't know. But right now, it seems more like it's like a training camp more than like, you know, exposing the business. I'm not sure if I'm really getting that out right.
No, I see what you're saying. The learning of matches will come later. This is them.
No, but I don't want them to ever show that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want it to be like they're training these guys to compete in a wrestling match. They're not showing them how to work a match.
No, my point is, yeah, but the training will come later in their careers.
Yeah, right, okay.
Not on TV.
Yeah.
They'll get to that later. Well, let me ask you, who's your favorite? Eliminated or not, who's your favorite of the candidates so far? I have two.
Martin is really good, and he's actually kind of steps up in this latest one.
Okay.
And Luke is pretty good, too. And I kind of have a small spot for Eric because of that whole story with his brother. And it's funny, his name is actually Eric Watts. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That is funny.
So the whole story with his brother, you want to see that kid make it, and he's got the look and the talent. And you'll see this week he has a good talk with Big Show about utilizing, you know, being in shape for being a big guy and stuff
Eric's
like that.
Eric's the black guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I like him, too.
Yeah,
my two favorites, I like the dude from Mississippi with the tooth.
Now, he's actually an MMA guy. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
They interviewed him on The Law last week, and he was like a big MMA fighter, and he's like, I don't know if he's undefeated or something, but, you know, he's actually pretty legit, and you could tell by the way he ran with that fucking dog, like, yards he ran with it,
Here's a side thing, then, that really bugs me, and we have him on again, and we will have him on again. It makes me mad that John got screwed when you were helping him out for the first season, because they said he had too much experience. Yet almost every guy in this one has something more than just doing, you know, just playing around.
Well, it obviously didn't pay off for Matt Cross, though. Poor bastard. I really felt bad. This was the first time I really felt bad on that show. I thought he was going to start crying when Steve took the belt and he wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah.
He hung on to it. And it's like, you just wished, like, I really felt bad. I'm like, I wish this kid would have done more so they would have kept him.
Yeah.
Because I've read he's actually a very good performer. So, I actually like Rima too, because I feel like she's really trying hard.
I love her.
Yeah. And I want to see her make it. I hope they seem to be giving her every chance to prove herself. So,
yeah. I mean, I think Steve's just breaking her balls just because that's Steve. But my favorite, let me tell you something. My favorite thing, and I know a lot of people were skeptical about it and busting her balls about it, but that first week when she was doing the rope thing and she had the padding in her ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cheating. But even Booker looked at her and goes, it looked when they were doing their little powwow in his office. Even Booker said, you know, give her a little credit.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why I don't think.
Would you have?
Yeah, I don't think they really punished her for it, to be honest. I think they ended up agreeing with him, and they probably played it up a little bit because they don't want to, you know, encourage it. But I think they did probably kind of give a little wink and a nod about it, you know, saying it was a smart move.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing where this pans out. I like Eric, too. I think they just think he's a lazy shit who needs to get his act together. But again, I haven't watched a lot this past episode, so maybe he steps up. But
yeah, it was a good. I mean, it's a really compelling show. Like, I really am. I'm sad when it ends, because the only reason I like the end is because that's the best part. But it's funny how Booker. It seems they must do a lot around the days he's traveling. A lot of the filming, because it seems like he's not on a lot in these episodes. So it's probably when he's out on the road for SmackDown is maybe when they're doing a lot of the filming, probably Tuesdays or Wednesdays or something like that.
Yeah.
He's been pretty sparse on there.
Yeah, I noticed he wasn't on the last week's episode. He missed the second half. But
well, next week Brett's on.
Really?
Yeah,
That's cool.
And now they're actually teasing a. It says when time is for elimination, the contestants are stunned by a shocking announcement from Steve Austin. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but should be interesting. That's cool that they got Brett on. I like how they have a. They bring a star in, but they don't overpower the show with it. You know, like Cena just had a kind of couple minutes on.
Right.
And then Big Show this week just kind of has a couple minutes.
Yeah. And the other thing I like about the show is they're not putting – except for that night on Raw when the show debuted, they're not putting these people on shows.
Right.
Because to me, that's cheating. They don't deserve it. That's why I can't stand NXT. And I think NXT is just a waste of time, to be honest with you now. Because they're making these guys really earn their airtime. They're in this, you know, and they're letting Bill DeMott beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, he's good in this role. I mean, for someone, it's weird because he's someone who never really became he was a good star, you know, a medium level star in WCW, but never a mega star. But he is an excellent trainer. I mean, he really does. You can tell he cares, and you know, he busts the balls, but he does it. For the right reasons, I think.
Exactly. But they're not giving these guys like the extra, you know, every week, let's go to SmackDown and be in the ring. Yay!
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, we're not doing that. You're going to sweat it out. And you're going to earn being, they're right. It's not like NXT where, oh, let's do things in front of the crowd. Like whatever. It's like, oh, I got eliminated, but I was on 5 weeks worth of shows, you know, they're not treating tough enough like this. And that's why I'm like you, I'm enraptured. And Steve just, he gets it. He's no dummy. And that's why I think he was the perfect choice to be like the last word. So
yeah. Definitely watch this week's, because you're going to see there's one tremendous promo at the end by one of the contestants. And I think it's going to shock you how good it is, but let's leave that here for now until we get further into the season, then we'll break it down again. Because at this point it's really just extolling the show itself. Not too much to talk about storyline wise. I did want to talk about a couple more things to do with wrestling. Some news and notes that are out there. And then our buddy Kieran actually wanted us to talk about the incidents with Zack Ryder. So we'll get to that in a minute.
The hot Scott.
Yes. He responded on our Facebook wall. But looks like they are going to go ahead and with the draft going on in April, they're going to bring back King of the Ring again in June. So that's good news, because that was a pretty fun show last year.
Yes, I enjoyed it. And they roll with it, and they They, you know, they're using it. They did it with Regal, and they obviously used it with Sheamus. So they're not just, you know, it's right. Not a waste of time. It's a good, it's been a good storyline hook, and God knows they could use some extra storyline hooks right now. So
yeah, and it's good like that they kind of taken the, you know, they had Sheamus kind of get away from the King stuff. Now that they're bringing the King of the Ring back up, so now it'll be someone new going for it.
Right.
Also, David Hart Smith is considering mixing, considering a jump to mixed martial arts and getting out of wrestling. So. We'll see what happens there.
Why does everybody seem to think that that's so damn easy?
You know, I mean, I don't know if they think it's easy, but I think, I mean, a guy like him who's probably doing all right money wise, but he's, you know, kid's only whatever, early 20s. He's in good shape. He's big. I mean, he probably figures he can go and maybe make cash in on, you know, the phenomenon right now. I mean, to me, it'd be like becoming a wrestler in 1997, 1998 when it was hot. You know, you wanted to cash in. So I think a lot of these guys. You know, MMA and UFC is so friggin' hot right now that he can, probably can cash in if he's skilled enough at it and make some good money.
No, I don't disagree with the thinking with why he would want to. It's just, it's amazing because Bobby Lashley thought he could do it. And, you know, Batista, there was rumors he was going to do it. These guys think just because they're big and jacked that they'll go in and just rough some guy up. And let me tell you something. The kid that fucked up Brock, he fucked him up pretty good. And Brock's a big dude. And I'll tell you something. The kid, John Jones, who just won the... I think it was the light heavyweight title. He'll knock somebody cold. And you and I, in February, we watched the pay per view. Watched Anderson Silva. And these guys, yeah, they might be half of Batista size, but let me tell you something. You know,
well, I think with Batista too. You know, him and Lashley, they're old, and you know they're learning it in their late 30s. You know, a lot of there are fighters that are that age that are good, but they've been doing it their whole lives. You know,
right.
A guy like Smith who might be coming in at a young age has time to maybe learn it. You know, he's not advanced age, trying to pick up this whole genre and move on. So it'll be interesting. We'll have to see if it's something he does. I mean, I wouldn't blame him because they're obviously wasting him big time in WWE.
Yeah. Well, they broke the two of them up. They wasted both of them. I mean, they made a big deal out of the Hart Dynasty splitting up, and Tyson Kidd got that big, crazy Jack dude as his bodyguard. And then he fucking vanished.
And he got fired. I think he got released, Jackson Andrews.
Yeah, and Tyson Kidd, they showed him backstage, and he got a hug. Edge hugged him. By the way, I don't think, it was the first time he was on TV in about a month and a half or something. So
now, speaking of WWE, what do you think of? Did you get to watch Raw after? Because I know we were recording.
I have not had a chance to watch it yet. No, okay. It's been a crazy couple days, so I haven't had a chance.
I don't know if you had seen the incredible R-Truth heel turn.
I did that. I did watch.
Okay.
I did watch that. I watched it on WWE.com. So that, I did watch that part.
I thought that was really well done. For a guy who's had really no heat or purpose for the last like 8 months, that was very well done. He just really beat the shit out of John Morrison, and then, you know, smoking a cigarette. Yeah, that was good stuff. It was.
I honestly would like to see. There's another guy who, not that he's been misused, but another guy that could probably use a good heel turn. And maybe it's funny because our man Matt Rotella, him and I were talking the other day about it. Or was it yesterday? They thought maybe they should take your advice. I think they should turn Kofi Kingston heel, make him like a Peter Tosh, ganja, you know, tin roof Ricky Williams kind of guy. And then the two of them should be like this nasty tag team kind of like. And then Matt mentions when you had. When we were doing the territory wars, when you had fucking Coco and Shaska as that nasty NWA team, he says they should just make them a nasty tag team. But then again, nobody watches tag team wrestling. But you know, I think it's great, and maybe he's a heel. You know, it's another good heel, and maybe it'll elevate him to a certain level. And you know, I was gonna say put him to SmackDown, but the problem is there's too many damn heels on SmackDown.
Yeah, they gotta leave him on Raw. Yeah, and
baby faces.
I think they're smart too to put Morrison in that match now at the pay per view instead of R-Truth. I think it'll be a better match, Morrison, Miz, and Cena. So that'll be it. And then they can kind of branch off to just Morrison, Miz on pay per view after that if they want as well. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go. Now, speaking of tag teams, I'm glad you brought that up actually because I want to send a call out to our Place to Be a Nation here. We need some help. Scott and I are participating in a giant beer pong tournament next Saturday night. And we're told that we need to have a team name and some kind of gimmick, some kind of matching outfits if we really want to sway voting or, you know, just help us in the tournament itself. So we're going to reach out to you guys. What do you think we should do as far as a team name and as far as our gimmick for this tournament? So I'm going to post this question on our Facebook page as well. So any ideas, send our way, and we'll be happy to read them on air and maybe have a little vote. So we got a week to decide this. Well, 10 days, next Saturday, April 30th. So.
It's gonna be pretty fun, and entrance themes possible too. So if you want to throw that out as an extra, go right ahead.
Yes, any song we can play that off of my phone as we walk in. So, all right. So now let's turn our way over to another sad story, and that is Scott Hall, who actually, I think he's back again in the hospital. But that is not the worst part of this whole thing. But let's actually get to that part first. Scott Hall hospitalized yet again after prescription drug overdose. This is the third time this month for a prescription pill overdose. But now the real shit show is actually happening on Twitter, where his ex-wife Dana has been petitioning and pleading with X-Pac, Sean Waltman, and Kevin Nash, and Shawn Michaels on Twitter. And I'm going to read this to you. This is right from WrestleZone on WrestleChat.net.
Okay.
Here's a recent back and forth all on Twitter. So this is Dana Hall started. She tweeted at Shawn Michaels, Nash, and X-Pac. Get him to a safe place from away from enablers. Make him stop wrestling and put his kids first for once. Then Waltman comes back and says, back the F off. You think my friends and I don't know? You made your point. Now quit spamming this or I'll block you. Dana comes back. Wow, really, Sean? Tell that to Cody and Cassidy. Thanks for your understanding. I'm not stopping until this is resolved, so deal with it. Sean comes back and says, first of all, I didn't know it was really you. I understand how you feel, but what WTF? What the fuck are we supposed to do? You have no idea what Kevin and I have tried. I'm not discussing this with you on Twitter. I empathize with you, but I heard you the first 100 times you've been spamming us. You're not saying anything we don't know. I'm sick of him playing games with us. Dana, well then, what are you doing? Sorry if you don't get why I'm so pissed off. I have to look after his kids every day. Thanks for your support. And Waltman comes back again. What we're doing isn't broadcast for Twitter. If you don't understand that, I don't know what to tell you. You think I don't get why you're pissed? I'm pissed about the same shit, but this isn't helping you spamming us. Send me a Facebook message. I won't discuss this any further on here. Dana comes back again. Sick of texting, Facebook, and you drove me to Twitter. Would love a effing voice with real shit coming out of someone's mouth on here. What to do? Waltman, I drove you to Twitter. It's my fault. Whatever. You're out of your mind, too. You're just not on drugs when you make comments like that. And I guess Dana's actually been posting a ton of private information about Scott Hall and the people who she feels have enabled him along the way. You know, she's obviously frustrated, but doing this on Twitter is not the right way.
No.
And she's saying that he is in the hospital again, and basically just really ripping into Nash and X-Pac, Waltman, because she doesn't feel like they're doing enough to help him. So, you know, it's definitely a fucked up situation, and it just kills you to see a guy like this, you know, end up like this. And like I said, that video was so sad, you know, that we saw him up in Massachusetts at that show, just looking so lost.
Yeah, I mean, that was almost as bad as the, and I said it when we had, I don't remember which podcast it was. It was almost as bad as the Jake Roberts thing from that Heroes of Wrestling show in 1999 when he was playing with his nipples and he was whipping the fucking snake between his legs and all the big chicks. And it was a disaster.
And now actually seems though like this could have an ugly end right now, because now this is the latest update from 4 o'clock this afternoon. Dana tweeted again saying, everyone pray that Scott lives through the night. We need to do what we can to be done here. Oh my God, we need a miracle to get him through. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's really that dire or if she's just, you know, it seems like she's been just kind of freaking out.
Sean, if you look at over the last 12 years, when Sean was at his worst, 96, 97, Scott Hall wasn't even there. And, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And no, one thing about Kevin Nash, we've heard a lot of things about him over the last 10 years that he's all he cares about is the money and his booking sucks and his matches suck. But we've never heard anything about him drinking or getting into drugs. He never seemed like that kind of guy.
No, and he definitely does seem like someone who has tried to help his friends as well.
I agree. I think him and Scott are probably very tight. Bless you. Sean Waltman's just, he's had his issues. I mean, he did a sex tape with China while he was drunk or whatever. He hasn't been, you know, here's a guy who has had Vince have to pay for his rehab. So obviously he's probably not innocent not totally innocent in any of this, but why Scott Hall's wife has to blast this on Twitter just to make these guys look bad is just a self-serving way to woe is me the whole situation. And look, I understand, you know, your husband's a fucking train wreck and you got to take care of your kids. We see it in real life all the time. It's not just pro wrestlers that have this problem. But why don't you have a meeting? Why don't you have a confab? Call these guys, have a summit, go to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Sean's got a fucking, my brother has seen Sean's house in San Antonio. It's like the size of five towns. Have a big meeting there. Talk about it. Talk it out privately. Stop acting like children. You know, I don't have a Twitter account. I know you have one, but you like to look at other people. But Twitter's funny when you're talking about funny stuff. This is not funny.
No, yeah. Right? This is not something that should be done. I mean, over there. I mean, the only thing I can think of is just that she's just desperate, and these guys have been ignoring her. I'm not sure what's going on behind the scenes, but yeah, to play it out like that in front of the public, especially for this guy lays in the hospital fighting for his life, it's kind of fucked up.
No, I'm scared for him because this guy he's had a really great career, and he's going to be a Hall of. You'd like to see him be a Hall of Famer. We don't want it to be like a Mr. Perfect posthumous Hall of Fame. We want him. We want him back. I mean, this is a guy that we loved as Razor Ramon, and he's always been a good character, and he's always had his issues. I mean, he crapped on a plane. I mean, for God's sakes, he was never actually all normal in the head anyway. But
right.
But this is just not fun to listen to, and it's upsetting because this, you know, we always say these same things. Guys like Mr. Perfect are dead. The guys like Brian Pillman have died. The guys like Eddie Guerrero. Meanwhile, Jake Roberts and Scott Hall are still living, and these are two guys who are doing this to their bodies intentionally. So I don't know. I don't feel. And you got Bobby the Brain Heenan. God bless his soul. He's sitting with his jaw broken, and you know, there's notes on websites. He's dead every 5 days. I mean, and he had cancer, for God's sakes. And you know, there's a lot of people we need to say prayers for. But no, I don't want to see this guy, you know, collapse in a rubber room. I mean, you know, maybe this guy, maybe Sean can reach out to him and. You know, Sean was able to change his life.
And Marty Jannetty's too. Saved his life as well. Remember, Jannetty was on the verge of suicide, and Michaels, gave him a phone call that day and helped save him too. So
exactly. Same thing. And he, I think he helped Regal too. I think he reached out to Regal. So, you know, Scott Hall just needs to want to live. And, you know, maybe it's her. Who knows, you know? I mean,
well, that's his ex-wife. I think it's beyond her at this point. I think he's just got legitimate addictions that he can't
see. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say Sean is responsible, but Sean's the only one that has the legitimate non-wrestling answer or at least a suggestion to find God, if that's the way, if that's what he needs. And I say a prayer for him because he's a hero to us in terms of you know, he's a guy that we love watching as a kid.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't want to see this happen to anybody. It's really sad. So but getting back to the main point of it, blasting it out on Twitter so we can all gawk at it is it's just not right. It's not right.
There's other ways to go about it.
No.
Now, moving on to a more someone who's been more successful in his post wrestling career. Just a quick note on Chris Jericho, who's actually been doing pretty well on Dancing with the Stars. He survived again this week, but I guess his fan voting has been pretty low. So he's kind of been imploring, saying, you know, don't worry, I'm coming back to wrestling, but the further I make it, the more like groundbreaking it is for other wrestlers that want to move on, you know, and gain this kind of mainstream notoriety. So if you're out there, whether you watch or not, it might help to maybe call in a vote and help him advance. And I actually have seen him compete a couple times. He's pretty good. I'll give him that. He's definitely... It's not bad out there. We figured choreography would be right up his alley, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I have a feeling he is going to come back. I think he realizes that...
oh, yeah, no doubt. I don't think he's done. Yeah.
No, that there's a hole there that needs to be filled, and I think they'll bring him back. So,
yeah.
No, I agree.
All right, so let's hit up one last wrestling story, and that is our buddy Kieran asked if he had any thoughts on Zack Ryder. Now, I don't know if you know, if you're aware of anything that's been going on with him.
I haven't actually seen anything about it.
He's actually gained quite a large underground following. He's been doing Z True Long Island Story episodes on YouTube and, like, WWE.com, kind of trying to get himself over, you know, just doing his little Jersey Shore gimmick, which actually he was doing, I think, prior to Jersey Shore even starting.
Right.
And it's actually been catching on. A lot of fans like him and want to see him elevated. Kind of reminds me of the whole Stevie Richards, Stevie Knight Heat stuff back in like 2003 when he was kind of running rampant on Heat by himself.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And, you know, Joey Styles has been pushing it on Twitter saying, you know, they're really funny. But I guess all of the – a lot of fans in the O2 Arena in London last week had signs directed towards Ryder. One said Ryder equals ratings and one said push Ryder, and they were all confiscated. So I don't know what's going on now. It really pisses me off that a lot of these guys that work so hard, you know, they always say, go grab the ball, take control of the ball. This is what you make of it. And then when the guys do this stuff, they punish them for getting over. It's very frustrating.
It is. And again, you know, anytime right now, and we've been talking about issues like this ad nauseum over the last, you know, since we've started the place to be, right now, I went on a big time tirade when you and I did the post WrestleMania show. Excuse me. The backstage, the management slash creative situation in Stanford is a complete fucking disaster. As a matter of fact, Lowell Weicker, who was the former senator here in Connecticut and the former governor, actually resigned yesterday as one of the board on the board of directors of WWE. Things are not good there right now. Yeah, money's coming in, but the morale, and it's not just creative. I think it's in the hierarchy is not great right now. And like I said, I maybe I'm being a little doom and gloom. Our man, Rav on our board has been telling me that I'm being a doom, you know, Mr. Triple H lover. Don't you think he's going to save the day? And yeah, I do. But he's not, you know, the creative is not the only problem. There's an image problem here. And the more that they're weaned away from wrestling, the more that they're going to alienate the audience. And again, this is a perfect example. The guy's doing his own. He's not spending any money.
Right.
And the company's not having to foot the bill for any of this. And the guy just wants to get over. Now, I got to check these old shows out now. I didn't even know. I had heard something. He was doing something on the WWE website. I wasn't sure what it was, though. I'll have to catch it. This guy's busting his ass to do it himself. And
why don't
you want to bury?
Not even just bury. Why wouldn't you want to cash in on it? I don't get it. I just don't get this mentality in the wrestling business. And it was rampant in WCW in the 90s. And it's continuing into WWE now in this decade. These guys get over. Why don't you use that to make money? Start putting it on TV, start selling Zack Ryder shirts, let him go until he gets over or fails. You know, I don't get it. In an era where there's not a ton of stars, young stars, this is a guy that, you know, wants to be something and he's working his ass off to do that. And he has a gimmick that connects with people right now due to, you know, they had all this stuff with Jersey Shore. And yeah, he got his one little spot at WrestleMania, you know, getting whacked by Piper the Coconut. But, you know, so the guy's really busting his ass to become a star. It really aggravates me that they don't do more with it.
Yeah, I still feel that there's that philosophy in the back where if we don't come up with it, it must really suck. Yeah. And like, where the hell do you get off saying that? Because where anybody backstage has any right to say Gerwitz or Giewertz, whatever the fuck you pronounce his name, still has a job is completely beyond me, because Raw has been absolutely atrocious top to bottom. I mean, we've had some shining moments, but over the last maybe 9 months, Raw has been awful. And it's not Miz's fault. It's not the character's fault. It's not the wrestler's fault. It's just the way the shows are laid out. And you just they do what they're told, and the shows just are not good. And these guys have the nerve to criticize a guy who's actually getting over with the fans. Who, by the way, we have the last say, not Vince in the whole scope of things. We do, because if we don't like it, we're leaving, and fans will not go to the shows anymore. And Once this gets out, and it happened in the late 90s and early 2000s with confiscating signs, I forgot a lot of the specific examples, but guys had signs taken away for certain reasons, and it gets around. And, you know, now you're going to be told, you know, this 12-year-old kid, you know, took my sign away, and, you know, and it's going to get worse. So really they have they got a lot of fucking balls to say anything against a guy who's not even, you know, causing WWE. It's not like he's doing any anti-WWE either. And if they have enough, if they're doing enough to put it on the website, then why don't you just put him on the show? Yeah. What the fuck do they have to lose?
Or
God,
just embrace the fact that he's doing it on the website. I mean, they have been pushing the website as more of a another place to get content. Now, Superstars is on there exclusively. NXT, you know, it's fine that they use. That's, you know, a lot of people watch TV on their computer nowadays. They use these websites. And I'm glad that they're partnering with YouTube, they're partnering with TV.com and Hulu. You know, they're using these outlets. That's smart. This stuff is stupid and counterproductive. And
yeah, I agree.
And this, at times like this, you wish TNA would smarten the fuck up too, because they, you know, they can really take advantage of this, of these faults if they ever get their shit together. But
yeah, here's the, both companies have different problems. One company is arrogant, that's WWE, and one company is incompetent, and that's TNA. You know, they both have different problems, and they're almost canceling each other out to the point where we have nothing left to watch.
And
so
on
thank
our
God for Tough Enough.
And on our Facebook page, where I asked tonight if anyone had any headlines ideas, our buddy Graham said TNA. It's a neither Nonstop or Action. Discuss. So we're gonna pass on that though, because like I said, we maybe one day, Scott, we're gonna have to sit down and watch some. Read every Impact result for the last few weeks and watch for like a month, and then we can come on and talk about it with a little more authority. But
that's
I don't think either of us are in position really to
no No. Discussing at least that. And we're admitting it. We're admitting it. we're not gonna snow anything over on you PTBers because we don't have a clue. I can't. I've said it on the show. I've said it on my radio show. I can't watch anything Vince Russo books anymore. I'm tired of watching something from 1998. I just can't watch it. So, but yeah, well, no, I have no problem talking about it. I'll
actually, it's 1997 because it looks like they may be actually building to a Hogan Sting title match. I don't know if it's gonna happen, but we'll see. So one last wrestling thing, and then we'll move on to some sports. And that's okay. The draft. Are there any big names you see going one way or the other?
There's got to be some baby faces going to SmackDown. The one I'm going to pick right now is I think Orton's going to go to SmackDown.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think right now it's something to do with him having issues on Raw. They just need a guy on SmackDown. SmackDown has a dearth of baby faces right now.
Well, funny because there's actually a rumor out there. There's a house show or a SmackDown taping advertising Cena in May. I can't see them moving Cena to SmackDown, You know, it might not be a bad way to get him with some new fresh faces to keep him busy until The Rock. So I wouldn't totally rule it out. I don't think it's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me if they put him on SmackDown for a year, like they did with Triple H in 2009, just kind of mix things up a little bit.
Yeah. And in that case, then they would probably keep Del Rio on SmackDown. Cause I think Cena Del Rio could be pretty funny. Could be a lot of fun. And
I don't think Del Rio's moving. I think he's staying on SmackDown now.
No, I think so too. I don't think anybody, the thing is, are there any heels that can be moved to Raw? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think you'll see little guys like DiBiase will go to SmackDown.
I think Daniel Bryan needs to go to SmackDown badly. I think he's someone that can maybe kind of get that rebuild, like we had talked about with Cody Rhodes, kind of going over there and rebuilding his character and kind of getting a chance to shine a little bit. I think he just belongs on that show where he can just put on, you know, longer matches and maybe feud for the IC title. I don't know. I kind of like the way the shows are right now. I actually don't want to see, outside of maybe getting another big face over to SmackDown, I kind of like the SmackDown scene with Kofi and Big Show and The Core and Christian. Like, I think they have a pretty good little thing going, you know, Wade Barrett and Kofi feuding for the IC title. And, you know, I think Sheamus can maybe benefit from a move to be elevated up. But I think with the U.S. title right now, he'll probably stay put. I think Sin Cara is going to SmackDown. I don't think he's going to stay on Raw.
No, I agree. I've been saying the whole time that he's going to go to SmackDown. I like that your Daniel Bryan idea because I think we'll finally – I think it's time for the Core to kind of have some identity now. And, you know, a Daniel Bryan, you know, Justin Gabriel match would be tremendous. And
right.
I think it would really open up things for those guys and open up things for Wade Barrett and –
well, I'm guessing. I think they're
going to
split.
Heels, I think they got to move a baby face over, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think they're going to split the Core. I think a couple of them might come to Raw to split them up because it seems like they're fighting anyway. So I don't know if I think they should keep Barrett on SmackDown for another year, but I wouldn't be surprised if they move like Ezekiel over. And I could even see them fucking up with Nexus, and maybe Otunga goes to SmackDown if they want to try and get him going on his own. What do you think if they move Morrison over? Maybe he loses on Sunday and then kind of goes over to SmackDown.
That might be a pretty good idea. Another baby face to kind of coincide. Is he a main eventer? Can he carry SmackDown?
I think he could as like Christian's 1A. You know what I mean?
I ultimately don't think somebody big's got to go to SmackDown. My pick is Orton. Not, and again, it's not punishing him.
Right.
It's a crisis. This is a crisis mode for SmackDown now. This isn't like, oh, Orton sucks, we're demoting him. That's nothing to do with it. That's not the case here. The case is they need a big-time babyface. Edge was a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, this wasn't like Kane retiring, you know, with all due respect to Kane, or Big Show retiring. This is a major guy. He was the World Heavyweight Champion. You know, there's a big shoes to fill there. And that's why I think a guy like Orton is not out of the realm of possibility to move shows. But, yeah, I could see Morrison going over as well.
I'm sure they'll flip some of the Divas, too. They always seem to flip them around here.
Yeah, I don't. And by the way, so on Divas, and I don't want to belabor this point, but I don't like seeing Lay Cool break up.
No, that's stupid.
They annoy me when they're on their own. I like them together.
Well, I think Layla could make it on her own. I don't know if they give her the chance, but I think she has the chops now to make it on her own. I don't know if you saw the title change on Raw. One of the Bellas, I think it was Nikki, won the title.
Yeah, I did see that. That was last week. Yeah, and who cares? I hate both of them anyway. I want to see Awesome Kong rip their heads off. By the way, speaking of Awesome Kong, apparently Triple H has been kind of setting those vignettes up.
Well, we know his affinity for manly women.
Well, that's true too. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Did you see the name that she's? Apparently, they trademarked the name Karma, K H R A M A. So it sounds like that's going to be her name when she debuts.
Well, the funny thing is, it's and I can't believe I'm because I, you know, I can't believe I'm actually using this show as a reference, but it's similar to the word Dharma, which was the group of like the company that was actually on the island and Lost. So I don't know if that's got anything to do with it, but it's I think it's pretty funny. But you know what? Good for her. I don't care what they call her. They need an animal on that show, on either show, and I think the bell is getting. And I'm sure she'll be a heel.
I think the whole point, I think Nikki won it so she can come on and destroy her easily and then maybe have Eve, you know, or May Gale kind of chase Kong for the title.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, so let's go ahead and move off of wrestling a little bit. And let's hit the baseball season quick and then we'll move on to the playoffs that are going on. So,
And quickly, I wanted to go over, before we go off the air, and we'll try and do it quickly tonight. The NFL schedule came out last night.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to
that. And I wanted us to go over, because there's something very special that you and I can bond with. And, you know, I know when it comes to sports teams, you and I don't bond very often. So this is something very special that I really means a lot to me. So, and you, hopefully you as well. So, but talking about baseball, I'm actually, you know, I kind of feel like a genius to a certain extent.
Why? Because your Red Sox are 6-11 and...
No, because my Rockies are 12-4. That's why.
Oh, I was with you on the Rockies, though. I had them. I was gonna pick them for the World Series, remember? And I didn't, just to be different. But I had them going far.
Yes, I. No, I have them going far as well. The Red Sox, they'll rebound. I think they'll rebound anyway.
They're in this is a big hole right now, though. 6-11. You know, counting today's win, they got to win 6 straight just to get to 500. I mean, that's a lot. You know what I mean? To win, and especially the way they've been playing on the road. They have a -18. Run differential. That was a lot worse a few days ago. They've kind of closed the gap a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that. One thing I have to say, though, and again, I stay out of the Yankee Red Sox banter with you and with Matt and when Dr. G, because I could care less. But I like talking to you about to the Yankees because you're the only Yankee fan I know that doesn't pretend to panic. Let's take it. My team blows. All right. They suck.
I was gonna say they're the only team with a worse record than the Red Sox right now.
The Mets are 5-13. They're a half game worse than Seattle. They actually are almost as bad as – I can't believe Minnesota's as bad, but no team in the league is as bad as the Mets are, okay? My team sucks, and I know that. But when Yankee fans who, by the way, your team's in first place, whining about little things – yes, Phil Hughes' fastball can't break a window right now. Fine. Send him to Tampa. He'll be fine in 2 months. My point is just roll with it. Take the positives. The negatives will, you know, they'll, you know, and obviously Tampa's making a rebound. They've won 8 of their last 10. But I'm sick and tired of Yankee fans whining. You're in first place. You're doing pretty good with a pitching staff that's held together by spit and glue right now.
Well, look at Bartolo Colon. I mean, talk about a big fucking surprise. That might be one of Brian Cashman's best free agent signings as of right now.
He pitched great tonight, right?
Yeah, he threw 6 2/3, 7 Ks. He had retired like 12 straight at one point. I think he gave up 1 or 2 runs. So, yeah, he had a great outing. And he actually is second in the league right now. Second of all baseball right now, I think, in K per nine. So he's really found the fountain of youth, and good for him. It was a good signing, and I hope they roll with him in the rotation for until he, you know, you figure at some point he's probably going to flame out. But I'd ride him until he falls apart. I mean, what do you get to lose?
I think Phil Hughes will be fine. I think he'll get tweaked in Tampa. You know, the one bad thing about the Yankee, I thought the Met trainers and the Met system was a bunch of fuck-ups. I can't. Although I got to be honest with you, I know you and I remember the debates you used to have with G and everybody. You have to admit that Jabba has embraced the role in the bullpen right now because
the only thing he's embraced is that he has a role. The problem is they were fucking and jerking him around for the last 4 years. Even when he was starting, they had him on those ridiculous inning limits where he'd only pitch 50 pitches in 4 innings, and it's like the guy was always so paranoid that he wasn't able to relax and pitch. And if you look at the year he started, his numbers were pretty freaking good for a 23-year-old in the AL East. Do I think he could be a great starter still right now because he has 4 very good pitches? Yes. If they told him go out there and let it go, you know, you don't have to worry about pitch counts or innings limits, I still think he could be a very good starter. And as much as I love him, part of me wishes he'd get traded to a team that would let him start just so he can show everyone that he can do it. That's how much I like the guy.
You know what? There's a team across town that could use a starter. So
I think he'd fucking be dominant for them in that park.
I would love it. Trust me. I'll take anybody at this point.
And I think he does have the ability. As of right now, I'm fine with it. I mean, I've come to terms. And I think if he keeps pitching like this, he'll be the guy that they eventually move in, kind of like Bard with the Red Sox, that they'll just move in when Mariano. Because Mariano's pretty much said he's done after these 2 years now. So, yeah. I can't see Soriano sticking around. So.
And you could see some of the cream rising to the top a little bit. Again, Tampa Bay is rebounding. Meanwhile, the Orioles are kind of leveled out a bit.
You know what's a crazy stat I saw? Tampa Bay has not had a starter over the age of 30 since 2006. A pitcher start a game over the age of 30.
Really?
Isn't that insane?
Even Andy Sonnenstein's not that old?
I guess not.
I thought he was at least 32 or 33. Wow. Yeah,
that's crazy, huh?
That's pretty impressive. And they're rebounding. They've won 8 of their last 10. They're starting to swing the bats. I think Manny kind of leaving, I think may have helped things out a little bit.
And Johnny Damon, Gaines, he's been playing well.
Yeah. The Central looks like we're all drunk. I mean, if you look at it in reverse, I think it was the standings last year.
Yeah.
The Indians, I mean, how about Manny Acta? 13 of their first 18 to start. Good for them.
I don't know, though. I think Kansas City will level out. Cleveland may be okay. They may hang in here for a little while. I don't think they'll win the division, but, plus 32 run differential. That's no joking matter. Number one in the whole baseball by 8. They got a solid young team and some decent pitching. I think they can hang in that division. Right. I still like the White Sox. I just think their lineup and pitching overall is the best. Minnesota, I thought, was due for a correction, especially with Maurer and Murnau. Both, you don't know their status. They can't hit shit right now. Negative 34 run differential.
Yeah.
Terrible offense. So I think they're falling behind a little bit this year.
I think Detroit's going to rebound too. I picked them to win the division. I think they'll rebound too. But I said it. I said, who's going to be I even put it on our board. Who's most disappointing? And I said, Joe Maurer. And not that he's disappointing, but this leg thing he's got is not a joke. It's some nerve damage. It's not like a normal injury. It's kind of frightening. And Morneau has got that, he's got the Francisco Cervelli, Mark Kelso triple helmet thing going on. So, not to make a joke about it. It's good. It just looks funny on him. But I knew Minnesota eventually would hit the wall at some point, and this seems to be it. Yeah, maybe Cleveland will hang around. Maybe they'll win 85, 86 games.
Especially in that division, I think they got a shot.
Yeah, and in the West, the Angels off to a good start, which was kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. Texas still hanging around, too.
Well, this is the first time Texas, I read, has been out of first place since last June.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think Oakland, too, is going to start. Their pitching is really, really good. So it'll be an interesting race there. The Angels are definitely doing better than I expected them to do.
Yeah.
I thought this would be the year they fall apart. But I just wanted to go back to the East really quick.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think, it still surprises me that the Red Sox did not throw the $4 million and guarantee the starting job at Russell Martin that he wanted. Because those are the two teams going after him with the Yankees and Red Sox. The Yankees basically handed him the starting job, and that's why he took it. But for $4 million, this dude right now is playing phenomenal defense.
Yeah, he is.
He hasn't been throwing guys out that well, but there haven't been a lot running on him either. But last night, he was blocking everything that A.J. Burnett was throwing in the dirt. It was amazing to watch. He's batting .314, 4 home runs, 11 RBIs, .375 OBP, and he's got a bunch of big hits. So he has definitely been another great surprise for Brian Cashman, who, it's funny because when you compare the Red Sox and Yankees offseason, and I think I talked about how I thought the Yankees offseason was a little underrated, some of these guys that Cashman brought in have really paid off. Garcia, he's only had one start, but he looked very good. Cologne's been excellent, and Martin's been tremendous as well. So we'll see, though. I mean, these are all guys that any minute could break down. But, I think Martin seems like he's finally healthy. So he wasn't a guy that had chronic injuries. He just had one bad injury. So
yeah, and the catching situation for the Red Sox was not great to begin with. So.
That's what I mean. I mean, you're giving the job to Salty Lamacchia, who's never done anything,
Right. No, I think that was silly. And obviously, you need a good experienced catcher right now for this haphazard. I mean, Dice K pitched pretty good Monday on Patriots Day against Toronto. But I mean, that, who knows if you'll get that every 4 days from him. You can't lean on John Lester to win you 25 games. He's not going to do that.
I don't know. He may be able to.
Well,
it's like Romeo and Juliet, my love affair with John Lester. <It's> forbidden by Yankee fans, but I don't care.
God. And Buchholz, guy's solid, but he's had some pretty hideous starts so far.
Well, I posted about this on Facebook today. It's funny because, I saw a lot of the beat guys on Twitter and some other pundits kind of surprised that, Buchholz is giving up all these home runs and he didn't give up many last year and he's, struggling. It's a regression to the mean. This guy's peripherals, and Matt Rotella, who's an asshole, doesn't believe I knew what that word meant. I think it's that he didn't know what it means and he got confused.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't know what it means. That's just pure psychology trying to work.
I think that, if you look at his numbers last year, he was extremely lucky. His batting average of balls at play was really obnoxiously low, and you could see this coming a mile away, I thought. If anyone who pays attention to those kind of stats could see this correction coming, that he was going to struggle a little bit this year.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I still think the Red Sox are going to rebound. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. They're going to rebound.
Maybe it's a kiss of death. Maybe fans, because, you know, this is the first time probably in like 15 years that I've actually picked the Red Sox to win anything. I always pick the Yankees just because I think that by year they're usually better. And look what happened. I finally picked the Red Sox to win the East and they flamed out. So you should probably be thanking me.
Well, no, I'm thanking myself because I was the one who sat here and exposed all these weaknesses on this so-called juggernaut 120-win mega team that had been assembled. And I knew that there were weaknesses. I didn't think Carl Crawford was going to be this bad. I thought he'd struggle. But it seems like it's really in his head now. They have bat seventh and...
Right, but you're a Yankee fan. You weren't going to say anything nice about him anyway.
Sure, I still had him going to the playoffs, but I just clarified some weaknesses that I thought were being overlooked by guys and fans that wanted to crown them as champions and a 100-win team right off the bat. And I knew they had issues that a lot of people were just kind of glossing over.
Right. No, I agree. We'll see how the season progresses. I think they'll start to level out a little bit. The National League makes me laugh because. Well, the National League East is about what you'd expect. The Phillies are leading it. The Marlins are hanging in there. Atlanta's not playing as good as they should be to start, and the Mets suck.
Yeah, I think Atlanta, you know my feelings on them. Washington, and actually, you know, let me digress quickly. That park is phenomenal.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we mentioned last week you made a trip to our nation's capital. Hope you had a good time.
Yeah, for the deal we got, for $20, you got a ticket up in the right field stands. We were first row, and you got a free beer. With each ticket.
Really?
So yeah, I had a good time. My father-in-law, who actually had his first beer in over a year, he had a bone marrow transplant. So this is the first beer he was able to have.
I'm glad he went.
So yeah, him and I had our free beers together and we hung out and it was a great time. The stadium was amazing. You know, very fan friendly. They had a band playing up in the little deck area where they had the bars. You know, just very outgoing, and it was very, very cold that night. We were freezing in the upper deck, so we moved down, and the security guard kind of said, oh, go sit over in these seats, you'll be warmer, you know, we're letting people move around, you know, to stay warm, and it was just a nice, nice atmosphere.
That's cool.
It's very cool. Right when you walk in, they have, like, a big beer garden when you get off the train, just, like, all different bars that you can go into, and then they have all the merchandise. I bought myself a Strasburg shirt.
Nice.
So then, you walk inside, and, you know, they have the, you know, the merchandise store and the program guy, but then you can just stand right behind the left field seats and just look at the stadium. Basically, you're like, you know, at the very top of the seats is like part of the concrete there.
Right.
And then we went up to our upper deck. So a really cool stadium. If anyone's ever in the DC area, I suggest if you want to catch a cheap ball game, it's definitely a good place to go. So
yeah. And they're hanging around. They're above 500 right now, 9-8. So
yeah,
no, I definitely want to check that stadium. And you could have gone to a you were in the middle of a hockey heaven. You had the two Caps games.
And they were. I'll tell you, the Caps are big time there, man. Everywhere I went, there were Capitals fans everywhere. Capitals jerseys. We were on the train after the game won. We were headed back to our hotel, and they, you know, a lot of the Caps fans are coming home for the game, and they were definitely buzzing. It was cool to see hockey so alive in that town.
Well, it's funny you say that because. I remember last year when the NFL season started, the first Sunday night game was the Cowboys-Redskins, and after that game, I should have realized how shitty the season was going to be for the Cowboys. But they were talking about the Redskins, and they were saying how D.C. is so different now. Back in the 80s and even to the early mid-90s, no team in that area of the country could hold a candle to Redskins fans. There were Redskin jerseys everywhere. Now, and you go through D.C., how many people did you see wearing anything Redskins?
Well, not now, but I mean, in their defense, it's off season and it's lockout time. My cousin who lives there said it's still huge Redskins. He said they're still the top team.
Okay, because they were saying in the game that even the Caps have, you know, and obviously in the 80s and early 90s, Georgetown is big down there as well.
Right.
So.
I think the Caps are up there with the Redskins. I think they're definitely a strong number two. But I think it's a good basketball city, too. I think if the Wizards were actually good, they would be supportive.
Probably.
I think this is a city that's had a lot of downtrodden teams lately. So
yeah.
I don't think they get the due that they deserve.
No, I mean, the Redskins haven't won a Super Bowl in 20 years, and the Caps haven't won squat, and the Wizards we don't even talk about. So
if I had to compare it, that park to Camden, which I went to last year, I think Camden's nicer, but I found Washington to be much more accommodating and fan-friendly.
And we're talking about two ballparks that are, you know, Nationals Park's what, a year and a half old,
mm-hmm.
2 years old, and Camden Yards is 20 years old.
Yeah, Camden
was awesome. Kudos to Baltimore for keeping it nice.
You know? Camden was awesome. I really loved the park. I just, you know, there were empty seats, and, you know, we tried to move down, and they were busting our balls, and, you know, just the opposite of Washington. So I thought Washington was better for the fan experience, too. I just like the way they had the bar set up and the band playing, and it was just really cool. So
That's cool. so they're still above 500. So hopefully they'll linger because my team won't. They'll linger at the bottom.
I think Philly. I think Philly's offense too is going to come back down to earth. They were hitting way over the head. So I think that's going to level out as well.
Yeah, they obviously were. And the Central, no shock. You have four teams right now at 9-9: the Cubs, the Reds, the Brewers, and the Cardinals. And then you've got Pittsburgh and Houston. So four teams are within two games of each other. Mm-hmm. All six teams are within two games of each other.
Pittsburgh started really well. They're 3-7 now in the last 10, but they you know, they started well, and they're doing all right for a young team. And I think they'll scare some teams in that division. I still think Milwaukee and Cincinnati are probably the two better teams. I think the Cubs are going to give a little bit of a run as well. So I think it's a three-team race. I can't see St. Louis hanging in. I just think they're I don't know. Pujols hasn't been doing anything, and their pitching isn't very
Pitching's a mess. And in the West, no surprise, the two best teams, the Rockies and the Giants, at the top. And we'll keep tabs on that as well. You know, although Donnie's Dodgers, you know, they're winning some big games. They're not.
Oh, no, they're in trouble now. Did you see that? I don't know if you saw the news that you were out. Baseball, MLB officially took control of the franchise. So similar to Texas last year, now they can't make any moves without MLB's approval. So that probably means they'll land Cliff Lee at some point, like Texas did. But.
Oh, Donnie won't mind that.
So I don't know. Yeah, it seems like a lot of a mess down there. And I know Broxton's been struggling big time too. They got a negative 33 run differential.
Yeah, they're not fucking atrocious. And Matt Kemp is leading the league in hitting.
Yeah. So Kemp's definitely have a good bounce back year, but that's Colorado's division to lose, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But obviously, it's very early, and stay here in the PTB. We'll keep tabs, obviously, on the season throughout, and you know, we'll. You know, let you know how all your teams around the country are doing. And, hey, you know, if you live anywhere around the country, you know, go hop on the Facebook page or our Gmail address. And, you know, we'll talk more about your team. And if you're a Rockies fan, you should be pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're a Giant fan, let me know because, you know, there might be a chance that my team might be contracted and I might have to find a new team to root for. So, you know, let me know if being a Giant fan is worth all the is worth its weight in gold. We'll see. So.
All right, so let's quickly. I'm not a huge hockey fan. I know you follow it probably more than I do, but let's just kind of give a quick update on all the series.
No, that's a problem. In the Eastern Conference,
Capitals won Game 3 tonight in double overtime. They beat the Rangers.
Game
4. Yes.
It was Game 4, double overtime. So the Caps lead that series 3-1. Pittsburgh beat Tampa Bay 3-2 in double overtime. So Pittsburgh leads that series 3-0.
3-1.
Yeah, 3-1. Buffalo won tonight. They shut Philly out 1-0. So that series, I think, is 2-2. Yes, it is.
Now, is Ryan Miller, he's still playing goalie for them? And
yeah. Okay. Yep, Ryan Miller's still playing goalie. In the second period right now, as we're talking, Detroit and Phoenix are tied at 3. The Red Wings are going for the sweep there.
Yeah, I can't see Phoenix doing much. I think Detroit's
they don't have the firepower. They may be moving out of Phoenix anyway. The Ducks beat Nashville tonight 6-3. So that series is now 2-2 as well. The other series, my Bruins, they are 2-1 trailing. They won a big game the other night, 4-2. Game 4 is tomorrow night, Thursday night.
Now, I just wanted to bring this up quick. They, local sports show here on the Sports Hub, Felger and Maz, you know, they're big against the whole, French Canadians. They hate them. It's really funny. So, they called up the lead police chief that's doing the whole this is right before the playoffs started, the whole investigation to the Zdeno Chara.
Yeah.
And they were really getting on his case. It was really funny. The guy was pretty good natured about it, but they were busting on him pretty good. It was funny. But then the other day, I guess they were ragging on the Montreal PA announcers who have to clarify because I guess their fans are booing the American national anthem before games. So now they say, you know, please rise for the United States national anthem in recognition of the following players on the Canadians. And they read off the list of American players on the Canadians, you know, and Felger, who's a real douchebag, he's really funny, was just kind of ripping it. He's like, how dumb are these fans that they're out there, you know, booing these American players because, you know, it's so stupid, basically. Why are they even bothering booing? And that the team has to make this announcement is just ludicrous. So that it was just funny. You know, funny. It's good to see some heat in these hockey rivalries.
Well, that rivalry anyway, because it's in my opinion, it's the best in the NHL. In fact, the Caps tonight were down 3-0 in the third period and came back to win that game in double overtime. So they're up 3-1.
This might be the year the Caps finally, I know they usually choke, so it'll be maybe the year they finally break through.
But we'll see. I think enough's enough with Ovechkin. He scores a lot of goals, but he's got to step up when it counts. So Philly and Buffalo are tied at 2. Canadians lead the Bruins 2-1. Game 4 is tomorrow night. Pittsburgh leads Tampa 3-1. In the West, we will likely will have a new Stanley Cup champion this year because the Blackhawks are down 3-1 to Vancouver, who's a fucking juggernaut this year. Mm-hmm. San Jose leads the Kings 2-1. Detroit's up 3-0 on Phoenix, and again, they're playing right now, and that game's tied. And then now Anaheim and Nashville are tied at 2. So there's sure. your Stanley Cup update, and we'll get more into this. Some series will obviously be over by the time we talk again.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we'll definitely keep tabs on it, though. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see if the Bruins, you know, I'm a cursory fan. I'm not a huge fan, but I like to see them do well, just because locally it's, you know, they're a very popular team, so it's fun to have them doing well. So we'll see if they can, you know, I heard an interview with a Canadiens player that actually said they were a little scared to be going home because they were playing such perfect, like, road hockey that, you know, to come home and turn it around, they were a little bit worried, and I guess that came to fruition because the Bruins came out hot in Game 3 and won yes. that. So they got to show some fire, because I think if they lose this round, I think Claude Julien's getting fired, so...
I think so, too. A lot of people don't agree with me, but somebody's got to take the fall. The team is too talented to flame out in the same round every year. I think it's the philosophy of the way that I think they need to score some goals. They're too defense-oriented sometimes, and they still skate like they're skating in shit. So, and I think that's because of the way Julien plays the game. So I definitely think that if they flame out in this series, that he'll be gone. So let's go from the frozen pond to the hardwood, and we'll talk more about this because we need a whole episode. We got to get your boyfriend back there, Mr. Riche, to talk about these teams.
Cause... Yeah, we'll be quick here because we did talk plenty about it. And actually, before we do that, I'm doing a first on air. I am taking a shot of NyQuil. So if you hear me snoring at the end of this podcast, let's wrap things up for us.
And again, folks, this is my fault. My night got a little crazy and we didn't start recording as early as we normally do. So I apologize for that. But he's on a roll, folks. Give Mr. Rosero credit. You've been a fucking machine tonight. You haven't sounded like you and looks, we love the guy, but you sound better half sick than Matt Rotella does when he's healthy.
That's true. Well, it's funny because I thought tonight would end up being a wrestle night, but we ended up being shorthanded in softball, so I had to play. So I got dragged out to the field. Luckily, the cold and drizzle stopped. It was actually a really nice night. The sun came out, so it wasn't bad, but still, it was. Oh, good. A little bit of a rough night, so yeah. You know, I did that, and then I had to sit here just waiting, sweating by the computer for you, so.
I figured Riche would have come in, and I would have been forgotten anyway, so. Let's talk NBA playoffs very quickly. In the East, your Celtics pulled another one out of their ass last night.
I feel bad for these New York fans. You know, the Rangers and Knicks finally make the freaking playoffs, and they're both going to go down in the first round.
Yeah, no, I mean, Matt and I were actually watching the game last night, our man Matt Rotella, and, you know, what do you say about Kevin Garnett? The guy's going to have his number retired up there. For a guy who hates that short hook shot in the paint, boy, he had no problem banging up. And Jared Jeffries has got to clean the shit out of his ass. Stop being such a pussy. You took the shot to give him a lead fucking 15 seconds earlier. Then you get a chance to take another shot. Too. And then you puss out and try for a pass. That was dumb. God, don't even play him again, D'Antoni, you moron. That was terrible. He blew that game. I have a feeling they're going to come out blazing. And, you know, Melo... I love the guy. I mean, I've always been a big fan of him.
Now, I called you out on Facebook, though, because I recall in our it might have been our first podcast, weren't we arguing that you were saying you didn't think he was a top 10 player, and I was saying he was? I seem to recall that.
Really? On our first podcast way back?
Huh. Yeah, when we were first talking about the trade rumors with him.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure you were arguing with me that he wasn't a top
really?
Top
no.
player. Star.
Then I stand corrected because I liked him at Syracuse, but I guess it was tough to kind of follow him in Denver. And being a Laker fan, I never really paid attention to them much. But I was always a fan of his. I just never thought he maybe would reach that level. But he's made a believer out of me. I got
to
be honest with you.
Well, he responded too to a lot of criticism in Game 1 where he did not play well at all.
No,
he bounced back and had a monster Game 2. And you know what? If they had any semblance of a supporting cast, they would have won that game easily.
Well, if Amare didn't, Amare's got seems to have major back problems right now. If he's done for the series, they're fucked. So it won't matter anyway. The Sixers are done. The Pacers are done. Let's just put it out there now. Although you know what? Give Indiana credit.
Yeah, they're hanging. I was gonna say I don't know. You know, they might win a game. They might stay. I didn't think they would, but they valiantly battled. I tried to watch that game last night, but I was in my NyQuil haze and I was fighting it to stay awake for the end of it. But you know, they are definitely impressive. So
no, Derrick Rose scored 36 points and they still only won by 6.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling Indiana, the Sixers are done. Miami's going to blow them out of the water.
Yeah, they're done. They're done.
In the snooze series, the Hawks and Magic are tied at 1. They're heading to Atlanta.
That's going to 7. Very not less than enthralling games. I think they're going to keep alternating wins until Game 7.
Yeah.
Probably.
Obviously the Knicks are down 2-0. They head to the Garden Friday night. In the West, Lakers are playing right now. Let me see if I can get a
they're
score.
They're up by six at the half. Okay.
San Antonio rebounded to win tonight, so they're tied at
that
one.
That was another great game. I was watching that. I was waiting for you. Memphis was in it, though. They were up late, and San Antonio pulled it out of home. I'm still not counting Memphis out. I won't be surprised if they
a lot of people think that the Spurs got screwed because nobody thinks that the Hornets are going to beat the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, but Memphis is definitely, I think, better than New Orleans. And you wonder how Memphis got the 8th seed, because if Memphis was playing the Lakers, I'd be pretty fucking scared right now.
Well, Memphis, I thought there was a whole thing going on with them where they kind of tanked a little bit because they wanted San Antonio because they knew they matched up well against them.
Yeah.
you know, and they said game 3 at the FedEx Forum is already sold out. So that should be a pretty crazy game to watch, you know, see a crazy crowd. It's good to see that team doing well. I like them.
So hopefully the Lakers will win tonight, and that'll be tied at 1. Portland's down 2-0 to Dallas. Your Mavs there.
Told you.
Playing ball right now. Yeah, and I like Portland, but Dallas should win that series easily.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was listening to Bill Simmons' playoff preview today at work, mm-hmm. and he was really pushing Portland and discounting Dallas, and I was just kind of laughing knowing, you know, my prediction, and then, you know, a so-called basketball expert who was just basically saying Dallas had no chance. So
that's your guy, too. That's your guy, too.
Yeah, I like Simmons, but I like when I'm more right than he is. So.
And my second favorite team in the West, the Thunder of Oak City, they're up 2-0 on Denver, but those are going to be –
I think
those will be more fun games if it's a 4-game sweep than if Orlando and Atlanta go 7.
I was going to say, those have been fun games. And it's going to be a fun series, but I think Denver's running out of gas. I think they were out to do their best for George Karl and show that they could win without Carmelo, and they caught some teams off guard. But I think they're done.
Yeah, no, they're not. Yeah, they don't have the. I just don't think they have the horses. So, but we'll keep tabs again on the NBA playoffs and. We'll have Mr. Reich back, and he can argue with me about you know, Moses Malone playing for the Sixers over the Rockets or something. I don't know.
he'll
disagree with me on something.
All right. So before we get the feedback and wrap up, you wanted to quickly talk about the NFL schedule. So
let's. I want to just go over the NFL schedule real quick. Not every game. There's a couple things I want to talk about this because I don't want to give up on the season. I don't want to do that. I want to believe that there's going to be ball.
Yeah, I know it's hard to get excited because you don't know, but
yeah.
But when you see the schedule, you get pumped up. You can't help.
Yeah, I don't know if you actually looked at it or not yet.
Yes, I have. I have it up right now as well. So
let's go over it very quickly. We'll go over our two teams and some of the main games. Of course, as normal, historically, the defending world champions get the first Thursday night home game. So obviously, the Packers will be at Lambeau against New Orleans on mm-hmm. September 8th. So
now it's different because usually they have the rematch of the championship game, right? That's what
not
it's
all
been
the time.
Okay.
A lot of times they do. Last year, you're right. Last year it was Saints and Vikings.
Yes.
So you figure this year would have been Packers and Bears, but it'll be Packers and Saints. Probably the game people thought they'd see. Now for week one, and this will piss off a shitload of Giants fans. Week one is Sunday, September 11th. Mm-hmm. We all know it's 10 years of that. And I'm very touched because the Sunday night game on NBC at the new Meadowlands Stadium is actually the Cowboys and the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to that game, just to let you know.
Oh, awesome.
There's a guy works in our company who's actually a Jets season ticket holder, and he promised me because we knew that the NFC East was playing the AFC East this year, and so we knew the Cowboys would be playing the Jets. He just didn't know where. Mm-hmm. And he said if the game was at the Meadowlands, and he's got two season tickets, he said if the game's at the Meadowlands, you got the other ticket. So he says he's – and I had texted him today, and he said he's a man of his word. So I will be we will be at the Meadowlands on September 11th to see the Cowboys and the Jets.
Hopefully,
yeah, if there's any season. The Monday night doubleheader that night, the Pats are in Miami for the early game, and then Oakland is at Denver. So what we're going to do, very quickly, because of our two teams, and then just go to the website, and, you know, you want to talk about some of your – what schedule quirks your teams have. Week two, your Jets are home for Jacksonville, and the Cowboys are in San Francisco.
No, I really actually like this Jets schedule this year. You know, it's funny because the NFL.com rates it as about 65% on the toughest scale. But when I look at it, you know, I couldn't really have asked for anything more as a Jets fan. I think they have a legit chance to win a lot of games this year, which I didn't think going into last year. I thought that schedule was harder.
Yeah, well, they did. Didn't they lose to the Jags like 2 years ago or something in
it was awful.
Bad games. They play Jacksonville. The Cowboys are in San Francisco. The Sunday night game is Eagles at Falcons, and the Monday night game, the Giants host St. Louis. Week three, you guys are in Oakland, and those are always fun games. I don't know why. Ever since the Heidi game, anytime you play, it's usually something entertaining. And then the Cowboys are home Monday night. It's their home opener, and they play Washington. And the Sunday night game on NBC is Steelers-Colts, which is usually pretty good. That's also Bears-Packers that week, too.
The funny thing with the Jets this year is I was actually kind of surprised. They only have one Monday night game. Last year, I think they had three.
Yes, you're right, they did.
So yeah. It's kind of funny. I think they have a few Sunday night games, though. They got
week four they do. Week four, they have a Sunday night game. Week four, they're in Baltimore.
Yeah, they got three Sunday night games and a Thursday night game. So I think that makes up for the Monday nights. Yep.
And then week four, the Cowboys are home for Detroit. And then the Monday night game that week is Colts-Bucks, which is kind of odd. Week five, you guys are off, I think. No, we're off. The Cowboys are off week five. You guys are
at New England.
That's Foxborough. So that'll be your annual trip to Foxborough so you can get sworn at and thrown.
Now, that's the latest they've played, I think, in a while. Usually they've been playing week one or two.
Right. Yeah. So that's week five. That's October 9th. Week six, you guys are Monday night against the Dolphins, and the Cowboys are in New England. So that makes me nervous, but that game could get pretty ugly. week seven, the Jets are home to the Chargers, and the Cowboys are home to St. Louis. The Sunday night game is the Saints hosting Indianapolis. The Monday night game is the Ravens and Jags. Week eight is your off week. That's Halloween weekend. You guys are off. The Cowboys play Sunday night against Philadelphia. And the Monday night, the Halloween night game is the Chargers and Chiefs. Week nine, you guys are in Buffalo, and the Cowboys host Seattle. Week 10 starts the Thursday night games, which is Oakland at San Diego. You guys, you're playing actually the Sunday night NBC game that week against the Pats, and the Cowboys are home to Buffalo. Week 11, you have the Sunday night game, the Thursday night game. You'll be in Denver.
That's a tricky week right there because they're Sunday night home for New England and then Thursday night at Denver. So, I mean, that's kind of a rough schedule right there.
Yeah, that's a short that might be your only glitch so far. Cool. That's a tough hookup. The Cowboys are in Washington, actually, that week. And then the Giants play Sunday night against Philly, and then the Pats are the Monday night game against Kansas City. Then week 12 is Thanksgiving week, and obviously the new Thanksgiving tradition, well, the old one, Lion home game, Cowboy home game, and then, of course, now NFL Network gets the primetime. Green Bay-Detroit, I think for like the third or fourth year in a row. And then the Cowboys are home to Miami, and hopefully Leon Lett won't be there and it won't snow. And then the NFL Network night game, the Ravens host San Francisco. Hmm. And then you guys host Buffalo. The key thing for you is having a good December. And we'll take a look at the December schedule and see if it helps you at all. The first weekend of December, week 13, you guys are in Washington. That's a very winnable game. And the Cowboys are at Arizona, which they lately can't seem to win ever. So week 14, second week of December, the Jets are home to Kansas City. That could be a tricky game if KC has a good draft and can get some skill guys. And then the Cowboys play the Giants on Sunday night. Week 15, Dallas is at Tampa on Saturday night. That's on NFL Network. And you guys are in Philly. Oh, that should be fun. Kick the crap out of them. And then week 16, Jets and Giants. This is a big, big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Eve games. The morning team on FAN, Boomer and Carton, were complaining there shouldn't be games on Christmas Eve because nobody's going to go. Well,
no, they'll go. Come on.
They'll definitely go. But Giants-Jets on Christmas Eve.
Wow, that's a big game.
You are the home team, so it'll be green in the end zones. And the Cowboys actually play Philly at home at 4:15. And then Christmas night, Packers-Bears.
Wow, that'd be good.
Yeah. And then week 17 is New Year's weekend. Every game is on New Year's Day. Every team plays New Year's Day. You guys are in Miami, and the Cowboys are at the Meadowlands against the Giants. So the Cowboys end the season at the Meadowlands against the Giants, and the Jets end the season at Miami.
Now, looking at it, I kind of already, you know, obviously you don't know what right. the season's going to bring, but I'm pegging 11. I think they can at least get 11 wins.
I think they could. I'd like to see the Cowboys.
I think the Jets beat the Cowboys week one, but, you know, that'll be a good that'll be a very good matchup, Revis and Dez Bryant, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm not expecting much that night. I have a feeling you guys will beat us too. I just want it to be a fun game, but I just want at least it'll be nice because maybe they'll have a nice ceremony before the game with the firemen and the police and they'll have a nice ceremony, obviously 10th anniversary of 9/11. That's more what I'm looking forward to. The game, I think the Jets will beat them.
Yeah, so to just indulge me, I see them beating the first three. I see them going 3-0. I think they could beat the Cowboys. That might be the only, the tougher game, but they'll beat the Jaguars at home. They should. And they should beat the Raiders.
And they should beat the Raiders in Oakland.
The Ravens, I'll give them a loss there. Patriots and Dolphins, I always have them splitting. So say they go 3-3 through those first six.
It's not bad.
I have them beating. I think they beat the Chargers at home. They usually have their number. Mm-hmm. Beat the Bills. Beat the Pats at home. So now we're at 6-3.
6-3.
I'll give them a loss at Denver. They won there last year, so I'll balance that out. So 6-4. I think they beat the Bills again. I think they're strong enough to beat them twice this year.
Yeah,
so,
I think so.
7-4.
You'll beat Washington. Yeah, I think you'll beat the Redskins.
Yeah, beat the Chiefs at home, so it's 9-4. Eagles, Giants, I give them a split there, so you figure 10-5, and then they'll split the Dolphins, so 11-5. So that's just kind of where I, you know, my hopes right now. If I had to say best case, I think they could maybe get the 12 wins, depending on those Ravens. And those are the key games, the Raven game and the Giants and Eagles games.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you right now. I couldn't tell you the Cowboys could. Well, I mean, I'll assume you'll beat us on Sunday night. But like that week two, I mean, we could go into San Francisco and win by 10 or lose by 1. So I'm not even gonna. It's tough to even pick how this Cowboy team is going to be. The draft is going to be a big deal for them because they need an offensive tackle, they need a safety, they need a corner. So the Cowboys, I don't know what the Jets need right now, but that's certainly the.
They need a guy who can get sacks. That's the one thing.
They need a pass rusher. And there's plenty of good pass rushers. By the time you pick the guys like Daquan Bowers at Clemson and the kid from at Texas A&M, they're not going to be there. But the Cowboys need an offensive tackle because Mark Colombo is just old and he's not good anymore. And they need a safety like Akamura from Nebraska, or maybe the kid Patterson from or Peterson from LSU. The Cowboys have a lot of skill guys. We'll talk more about the draft in a few weeks when after it happens. But, I mean, I couldn't pick the Cowboy record. They could be 8-8. They could be 3-13. They could be 15-1. Who knows? But you guys are definitely much more stable, so it's kind of easier to pick your record. But anyway, I just wanted to go over the schedule quickly, our teams, and I wanted to just say that it's a treat that that they picked the Cowboys to play mm-hmm. that Sunday night 9/11 game.
I'm actually surprised they didn't do Patriots Jets, to be honest.
I'm actually surprised too. I'm surprised they didn't do Giants Jets that night. Mm. That would have been that's what everybody was talking about, that it was going to be Jets Giants that night. And I don't know how they were going to pull it off. I don't know if they were going to flip a coin, or there was rumors that they were going to make it a neutral site game, and I don't know, something weird was going to happen. But you know, if I'm a Jet fan, I'd be pretty. That's a coup. Mm-hmm. That the Jets got the primetime home game on 9/11. If I were a Giant fan, I'd be pretty pissed.
No, to be honest, they get enough.
So yeah, I know. And you'll enjoy that game. That'll be fun Christmas Eve for you. You can talk to our good man Mr. Flanagan can jaw at each other on Christmas Eve.
Oh yeah,
that'll be fun. So, all right, how you feeling? I think we're done.
Yeah, I think so. Let's hit the feedback quick, and then we'll wrap up.
Yes, yes, please. I want to hear that. I need to hear that.
Funny little note from Jordan Duncan on our podcast Facebook page. He said, a note to self, don't listen to the show with my kids in the room while that foul mouth that Andrew Reich is on, and that's very true. Yes. Andrew is known for his F-bombs, so.
Yeah, we're not innocent of that either. we gotta do a little bit better job of that too.
So hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/placetobepodcast. We're always posting random things up there throughout the week, looking for ideas and different things. So hit us up there. Our buddy Karen obviously got through. Also join us on our Facebook page. You know, we actually have, since we talked, we got another new guy, I think, in the Territory War, so that's picking up.
That's awesome.
As well, and that's bigelow34proboards.com. So yep. And also, of course, our email, which is placetobepodcast@gmail.com. And we have another email from our buddy Danny Goncalves over the WrestleMania 3 Defender, he puts in the subject. all right, here we go. Of course, this is based off our ongoing discussion and confrontation from last podcast with Andrew over WrestleMania 3. Scott, great job as usual defending WrestleMania 3. You are now 2-0, and to me this is definitely more historic than Undertaker's WrestleMania streak. For Andrew to say WrestleMania 7 was better than 3 is borderline funny. That comment alone makes you a winner. And to that idiot and to the idiots that say WrestleMania 3 is overrated, it's not about 5-star matches. Give me Rock and Hogan from 18 any day over Bret and Shawn from 12, which, my comment, I don't think that is 5-star match. I'll take Piper and Adonis all day over Angle versus Benoit from 17. Why? It meant so much more, and you could tell from the reaction of the crowd just by watching the shows. Scott, congrats on being 2-0, and all I get to say is who's next. Danny, I wrote you back on that email, and I'll say it again. We love you. Keep bringing the heat. We love this stuff, and our WrestleMania 3 argument will never die, because I think we're very divergent opinions on that. So
yes, and I actually mentioned to Danny in our Gmail that you and I started up our own little debate when you threw that jab at me about how you think. We were talking earlier, and I'll mention this very quickly. We talked about in the past about how our place to be message board did a tag team tournament. You know, we all voted on tag teams, and we had a tournament who the greatest tag team of all time is. Well, the finals of that tournament ended up being the Hart Foundation against Demolition, two of the greatest of all time. I don't deny that. But I just was stunned that the Road Warriors didn't make the finals, because they are the greatest tag team of all time. It's just the way it is.
No, and we're going to say this for another podcast.
I'm just saying that's a debate that's starting up as well, and we want more people to fire that up too.
My main beef on that, though, is just that they are a product. They were very good in their role, but they were a product of their push. And I think any team in that situation, the Steiners, the Harts, Demolition, were in that same position, I think they could have obviously gotten just as far over as the Road Warriors did. Now, they did a great job sustaining that, but they also had the benefit of guys just laying down and letting them get murdered at their hands and never jobbing or laying down or selling a move. Of course, anyone booked like that is going to look dominant. So I think the Hart Foundation, in my opinion, is the greatest actual tag team. So, excuse me, we'll get into that more.
Yeah, no, I don't want to get into it tonight. I just wanted to say that it's not just WrestleMania 3. We come up with great debates all the time. So we'll have your boy Andrew on again, and I'm sure he'll pick the Hart Foundation and then make it even better. But just saying that's what makes our message board great. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes our podcast great. We always talk debate. We don't talk down on each other. Everybody's got great opinions, and it's just fun to talk about. So it's just great examples of it. Thank you, Danny, for the feedback.
Yes, keep it coming. So with that, we're going to wrap up. Next week, we'll be back. We're going to do WrestleMania 4 early in the week, and then maybe we'll do another little brief headline thing, kind of talk about the draft, WWE draft, and Extreme Rules pay-per-view. So maybe we'll do a little preview for that. So, all right, for Scott, this is Justin, and we're going to leave you with, hopefully, this song will help him get through his tough times in the hospital.
Peace.